We're fortunate as we celebrate the feast day of the baptism of the Lord to have our own baptism here today when the Holy Spirit will descend upon Riley and he'll receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the gift of sanctifying grace, and he'll be welcomed into the church. So it's certainly a great celebration for us today. One of my nieces is a big fan of Disney's Princesses, and I think this was about when she was about 4 years old. She got one of those sleeping blindfold things. You know, it's like a little decorative blindfold. Apparently, princesses wear those when they go to sleep to block out the light. She loved that little blindfold. And I came over to the house one time, and it was kind of a chaotic scene. And there's a little bit of blood on the floor, and my niece was crying, and my brother had some super glue, and he was trying to glue this gash on her foot back together. And after he calmed her down, and after she stopped crying, he asked her, "Now, what did you learn?" And she said, "To take off the blindfold before I run outside." So it's probably a pretty good lesson. I think, looking at that scene, it's like, something like that happens. And my niece, she does everything 110% energy. I could just see her, flying out of the house at full speed with that blindfold on. And it's one of those situations where you just say, nothing good can happen from this. You know it's going to turn out poorly. But I think when we look at what's going on in our nation in terms of morality in our society, the majority of people in our country are living their lives that way when it comes to morality. They have blindfolds on, and they're charging ahead recklessly, often without ever thinking about the consequences of their actions and what's going to happen as a result, where this is going to lead them. And nothing good can happen from that. It's a disaster waiting to happen, and we're seeing our society slowly unraveling as a result of it. People are not thinking about what the right thing is to do and what the consequences of their actions will be. People instead are doing whatever feels good at the moment, whatever feels good on a whim, whatever the easiest path is at the moment, whatever I want to do, rather than asking the question, what is the right thing to do and what does Jesus Christ ask us to do? What are his commandments? And if we do that, if we follow that path, it's going to destroy our society. The whole moral foundation of our society is being unraveled. It's like people running around with blindfolds. And the result's not going to be pretty. Justin Martyr, he's one of the great theologians of the early church. And in the early church, the sacrament of baptism was commonly called illumination. So if you read some of the early theologians, they'll talk about illumination. They're talking about baptism. And the reason why it's called illumination, Justin Martyr explains to us, is because in the sacrament of baptism, there's a mental enlightenment that comes from the sacrament. That when we're baptized, we can see clearly that Jesus Christ is God, that he created us for a purpose in life, and that our purpose is to serve him and to do his will, to see that the purpose behind the moral teachings and how those lead us on the authentic path, the happiness, all of this is a mental enlightenment that comes from the sacrament. It's like the blindfold being removed. We can see what actions will lead us to happiness and to fulfillment and what's going to lead us on the path of destruction. And so in our second reading, St. Paul's letter to Titus, he talks about this. Christ saved us through the bath of rebirth and by renewal by the Holy Spirit. We're renewed by the Holy Spirit so that we can see the proper path, that we can be illuminated. And how fortunate we are to receive the sacrament of baptism. But baptism is not the end. Baptism is just the beginning. And it's important for us to follow through and to continue to follow Christ's commandments. But unfortunately, even within the Catholic Church in our nation, there is a major crisis going on. And the crisis is the fact that the majority of Catholics, after receiving illumination, after receiving the sacrament of baptism, put the blinders back on and leave that path that Christ shows us and go back to living the path that everybody else in our society is living. Sometimes it's amazing the disregard that the majority, and not just a majority, but even a large majority of Catholics have in our country. There's this spirit of defiance to moral teachings that's spreading through Catholics in our nation, and certainly through the nation as a whole. And it's this sense that not only is it okay for me to disregard moral teachings, but that there won't be any consequences. That we can just live and do whatever we want. And so people will flagrantly violate church teaching. And I'm not talking about people who are trying to live a good moral life and who fail and slip up from time to time and, you know, go to the sacrament of confession and get back on the straight and narrow path. But there's this spirit of defiance where people are saying that it's okay for me to violate moral teachings. It's no big deal. I can live however I want, and there's no consequences. And it's a very, very dangerous attitude, because it's people with blinders on just charging forward. And we're in the midst of what we could call a widespread apostasy. And apostasy is a renunciation of the faith, where people just openly disregard it. And I'll give a few examples. Now, since I was teaching in high school for 6 years, I saw this all the time. The rate of cheating among young people is rampant. I've seen studies that look at schools worldwide. The rate of cheating was so high that teachers didn't even bother to enforce any rules against cheating. They said, well, you know, I'll give this homework assignment and everyone's going to cheat on it anyway, so why bother enforcing anything? And they didn't want the flack, because they knew if they punished someone for cheating, that the student and that their parents would go after them and try and get them fired. And so it was better just to look the other way. Some teachers would just give completion grades for homework. You turn it in, you get 100%. Some teachers would weight it so small that it wouldn't matter. They figure everyone's cheating, so it'll just be a small percentage of their grade. They would just give in. Cheating was rampant. You know, we see it in terms of religious obligations. People will simply blow off the obligation to attend Mass on Sundays. You know, we have a lot of people who just come a couple times a year or maybe once a month. Well, the Lord's commandment is one day a week, 52 times a year, 52 Sundays a year to come and worship and adore him. And as a priest, it's my job to get people to salvation. I'm trying to get people to heaven, but it's pretty difficult to get people to heaven, which is a place where we worship and adore God for all eternity, if people refuse to worship and adore him for an hour on Sundays. You know, they're making a deliberate choice to defy the will of God, and they don't realize the consequences. If we persist in a state where we're defying the will of God, we can't enter heaven. You know, heaven is a place for people who have conformed their will to the will of God, people who serve him and adore him. And if we make a deliberate choice to reject that, then it's impossible for us to get to heaven. You know, people who persist in a state of mortal sin, and you know, I'm one to call a spade a spade, if people die in a state of unrepentant mortal sin, they will be separated from God for all eternity. You know, heaven is for people who worship and adore him. And we see it with religious obligations. We see it with marriage and the family. You know, the number of people who live together before marriage who are involved with fornication before marriage, they just blow off the moral teachings and they think that there won't be consequences. Well, there are consequences. And our Lord came and he was baptized and he brings us these moral teachings for our good. It's to show us the path to happiness in this life and to show us how to attain eternal life in heaven. We shouldn't take that for granted. The attitude that we should have as Catholics is one of absolute fidelity to Jesus Christ. We say, Lord, I believe that you are God and that your teachings will lead me on the path to salvation. And whatever you ask of me, I will do. That's the attitude of fidelity, of faithfulness. That's the attitude of the saints in heaven. The attitude that we can just blow off the moral teachings and it doesn't matter, I can do whatever I want. That's not the path that leads to salvation. That's simply indulging our own interest or whatever feels good at the time. So I think it's important as we meditate upon the baptism of Christ, which we celebrate today, to realize this is important. Our faith matters. It's not a joke. Our Lord descended all the way from heaven to show us the path to salvation and to offer us the sacraments as the path to life. but we have to follow the path that he set for us. St. Paul, again, in the second reading, he says, "The grace of God has appeared, saving all and training us to reject godless ways and to live temperately, justly, and devoutly." That's the path that our Lord has given to us. That's why he appeared, why he was baptized, why he offered us the sacraments. And so I think this is a time for us as we renew our baptismal promises and we celebrate the baptism of Jackson entering into the church, where we make a renewed commitment to fidelity. That as followers of Christ, we will be faithful to his teachings, whatever that leads us to. Absolute fidelity, and not to buy in to the spirit of revolt that's so common within our church today. That's people living with blinders on, and it's not going to end well. But if we follow the path of illumination, and we follow the teachings that Christ gives us, and we remove the blinders, we will find happiness in this life and eternal life in the life to come.